This is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Welcome, everyone. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Good stuff happening today. We got the former Sonics head man, the former coach that everybody loved, George Karl, going to join us at 3:45 today. Looking forward to that conversation. The Professor John Clayton at 4 o'clock, and then a conversation with Huskies head coach Mike Hopkins. Talk to him about what's been going on with this Husky team that's been struggling. They got a game coming up tomorrow night against Arizona, so we will get into all of that. Looking forward to talking to Coach, though. Haven't talked to him, and I don't even know the last time I spoke to him.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and George Karl, coach, up through 98, but boy, some of the greatest years in Sonics history. He averaged 59 wins a season. We all remember those great teams and going to the NBA Finals in 1996. And I'll always wonder, as probably you will too, if Nate McMillan had been healthy in that NBA Finals, if the Sonics would have beaten those 72-10 Chicago Bulls.
You think they would have?
He was a heck
of a defender.
Well, that was an amazing series because falling down 3-0 and then winning two games and forcing a game six in Chicago. So it was a terrific series. And, yeah, I mean, Nate McMillan being a glue guy, you just figured that might have made a difference.
Are you on good terms with Coach Karl?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there ever
you looking
a moment
for some fireworks at 3:45, Dave?
Well, I didn't know what to expect.
A moment where he wanted to strangle you or yell at you?
I don't read your bleep, Jimmy?
Yeah, I don't read your bleep, Jimmy. That was, yeah, he never read what I wrote about the team, but that's okay. I don't imagine many coaches do.
How did he know it was bleep?
Well, he just...
because he had met Jim.
That's all he needed. All right, well, we'll talk to him at 3:45.
Thanks, Dave.
Was I being a good teammate there, Jim?
That was great.
Not really.
No, I don't think George has really missed me.
Probably, you don't think so?
No, probably not.
All right. Well, we look forward to the reunion, nevertheless, coming up at 3:45 today. Meanwhile, the question as it's posed here, would you rather Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson as your quarterback? Jim, before we go stats, before we go into, well, here are the pluses and minuses of each, just as soon as you hear that question, what is your reaction?
Well, I was just thinking everybody just is looking at Patrick Mahomes like he's the greatest thing ever. And then I just be careful what you, I mean, would you?
Wait, didn't Max Kellerman say he's the greatest quarterback ever? Isn't that already been the proclamation? We played that.
Yeah, I think Kellerman did say that.
Yeah, so it's already determined.
He's only two seasons into it. And so I just was sitting there this morning up at Cougar Mountain at my house just thinking, well, let's see, would you trade Russell Wilson straight up for Patrick Mahomes right now? And I imagine that most people just first reaction would be like, yeah. And here are the reasons why, because Russell Wilson's 31, Patrick Mahomes is 24. Look at the upside with Mahomes. You know what you have with Russell Wilson. Is he going to get any better at this point? He's not going to be quite as elusive or as fast. We've already seen that with Russell Wilson. But I don't know if I'd be so inclined to do that because I just look at, as much as I think Tom Brady's going to fall off the edge of the cliff here at some point, maybe this year, I keep thinking it's going to happen.
He's counting on it.
But he's kind of the template. If you think, I mean, Russell Wilson at 31, you think of a quarterback starting to get toward the end of his prime or in the middle part of it. I guess if it's a golf course, you're on like hole number 12 with Russell Wilson, something like that.
Where are you at with Mahomes?
But Mahomes,
you know, the fourth hole,
you're just hitting 350-yard drives right now, and you're cruising down the second fairway, and you're thinking, man, life is good. But I really wouldn't, just to answer your question, I'd stick with Russell Wilson over Patrick Mahomes, even though there's a seven-year advantage with Mahomes. Russell can probably play until he's 41 or 42, maybe even 45 like Brady wants to.
I think the difference we've seen in Russell, and it's frustrated some people, is he doesn't run as much as he used to. He runs when he needs to, and we saw that especially in the playoffs. He definitely needed to. He's not as fast as he was, and he's a guy whose game was really built on that elusiveness and that mobility, and he seems like he's sort of found a way to bridge the gap between, you know, what he was and what he is now just in terms of speed and things like that. I think he's throwing the ball better than he ever has. I think he's more accurate on the deep ball than he's ever been. I think he's a better quarterback than he's ever been, but he's kind of lost a little bit in that speed area, but he's made that transformation, right? It's like a pitcher losing his fastball and they become a pitcher.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I think the elusiveness is really what matters because you don't want your quarterback running. You don't want that. I mean, that you're putting him in harm's way. And we talked about this, about a running back and how those guys just get pounded and how, you know, when you're out in the deep water running around, you're going to take some big hits. Although Mahomes, and we saw him benefit from this, I think defenses are much, much more reticent to lay a lick on a quarterback out in the middle of the field. I mean, I feel like if Matt Mahomes or Russell, whoever, was running downfield and took a really hard hit that was clean, that they'd still throw a flag. I feel like that's the way the NFL is right now. And you saw against that the Titan team that he kind of went tiptoed down the sidelines and then spun. And, you know, everybody was trying to not get a penalty hitting him. And I feel like that's why he scored. But that's just sort of an aside there. But, you know, for Russ, I just think I'm taking Russell Wilson, first of all, for the record. And you know, the other thing is you look at a lot of these other guys like Mahomes. Most guys don't start out their first year throwing. He had one game. I think he threw one interception in that game. And so, you know, but, you know, if you want to look at it like golf, so Russ is finishing up the front nine coming up here this year, and Mahomes is going on to, what will this be, year four next year? This is his third year in the league. And, but, you know, as far as like arm talent goes, I think Russell's a much better decision maker, but that, you know, you're comparing a guy in his eighth year to a guy who's in his third year, and you learn so much. But you look at the kinds of things that Mahomes does. I wonder how his coach is Mike Kafka, the quarterback coach. I wonder how he coaches him on like his technique and his mechanics, because that guy pretty much just throws it on the run, all these different arm slots. And that might be an explanation of why he hasn't been sacked as much. I mean, only 17 sacks this year.
And Russell was what?
One in the playoffs. He had 48.
48.
48 this year. So, yeah, it's I think he's able to unload the ball, you know, in different little
He's players. Got a cannon.
He does.
He's
but
got
he
a
can
cannon
throw
arm.
It from all these different, you know, way. And one time he switched hands and threw it left-handed to get out of a sack. So I think he has that. But I think Russell's a better deep ball thrower. And I don't think there's – it's not close. And I don't think there's anybody in the league that throws as good of a deep ball as Russell. So, you know, I think he has as much arm talent. Maybe he doesn't have those, you know, side throws and things like that, but he does have a better deep ball than Mahomes. The thing is with Russ, and maybe he can control some of this, and if you have, you know, go back and look at Kansas City games, maybe Mahomes is getting rid of the ball. But I think the quarterback can, you know, make some decisions that avoid sacks, and Russ maybe needs to get that part of his game down a little bit more.
Yeah, look at just comparing their numbers over the regular season. Russell was 341 for 516 in terms of attempts and completions, 66.1%, threw for 4,100 yards, 31 touchdowns, 5 picks, 48 sacks. Mahomes was 319 for 484, 65.9%, 4,031 yards, 26 TDs, 5 picks, and 17 sacks. Now, he missed a little bit of time with that knee.
Two games.
Missed two games.
Matt Moore
dislocated knee. So you'd figure the touchdowns and yards would be a little, those numbers would be a little bit bigger. You know, he's coming off a 50 touchdown season.
Well, and then
amazing.
Yeah. And then the throws, too. I mean, if you look at yards per attempt, you know, and I went back and looked at like Brady's 7.5 over his career, Manning 7.7, Russell's 8.5. And Mahomes is ahead of him in that category, 8.6. But so, I mean, they're pretty even. He's on a path to be like a Russell Wilson type player. But, you know, the way he developed, I mean, they brought him in as the guy, and he threw 50 touchdowns, as you said, Bob, in his first full season starting. And Russ was brought in as not necessarily a game manager, but he's kind of developed and worked his way out of that. And so I feel like he knows, you know, a lot more of the game than Mahomes does. But of course, there's the 5 years of experience.
Yeah, I'm just wondering though too, if you flip flop the two quarterbacks, put Mahomes in Seattle's offense this year, put Wilson in Kansas City's offense, which one would do better? And I would say Wilson on that one, just based on the protection that Kansas City gives to Mahomes. Now maybe you'd say, well, wait a minute, I've been watching Chiefs games all year, and Mahomes would get out of more sacks than Russell. I'm not so sure about that. And I just think that I've always felt like Russell, you put him in any offense, and even back in the day when he's only as good as his defense and his running game, I always thought that if you traded places with Aaron Rodgers, he could do the same thing Rodgers was doing in Green Bay. I might be off base on that, But I would tend to think even right now, if you put Russell Wilson on that Chiefs offense, he'd have more success than if Mahomes came here.
Well, he'd be playing behind a decidedly better offensive line. They've got one guy on that line that's given up two sacks this year. One. I don't know what you could say about the offensive line and the numbers attached to each one of those guys. But so you're playing behind a decidedly better O-line. You're playing as we'll talk to Clayton at 4 o'clock, and I'm sure he'll chronicle everybody's 40 time on the Chiefs. You know, they're called the Legion of Zoom, I guess, is their name, because everybody's fast and everybody's a track star. So you're playing with a different element in terms of the weapons that you've got there. Now, that's not a shot at Metcalf and Lockett. Those are good receivers, but one's a rookie, the other got hurt and wasn't right for a couple of weeks, and you really have anything past those two guys because Disley got hurt, Ed Dixon didn't play, you were down to a guy in Jacob Hollister who was a practice squad guy who was back and forth. You didn't really have anything. So Mahomes has more weapons at his disposal. He's got a better O-line. So just to bolster your point, I agree with you. I think Russell would flourish behind that. It'd be interesting to see how Mahomes would handle the line that's here and the weapons that are here that aren't up to snuff if you're comparing them, I think, across the board to
Kill
Kansas
and Kelsey.
City. Yeah.
Is it Jason Kelsey, the tight end?
Travis.
Yeah. I mean, that's the center, his brother. But, I was just thinking back to what Jake said, how that, you know, they're squandering Russell Wilson. I wonder if, you know, you would still think that if Disley had been healthy, because you have him and if he was to continue at the pace that he was going, and I don't see why he wouldn't have, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day too, that throw to Hollister at the goal line for the NFC West Championship.
I think Disley gets in.
I think so.
He's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
He's just a.
So, I mean, maybe you wouldn't think that, but I can understand why, like Jake said that, because if you look at, like you said, the Legion of Zoom, I mean, you look at the tight end, you look at Tyreek Hill, and then on the other side, they've got George Kittle, and they've got that Debo Samuel kid, I mean, who's really good. I mean, they've got some good weapons for them, and the Seahawks have, you know, Tyler Lockett, who I don't want to say disappeared, but he wasn't himself for three or four games. You know, and then you had the rookie DK who played really well, and then basically it was Hollister after that, and checking the ball down to your running backs quite a bit.
Yeah, a couple different voices here. Pete Carroll talking about this is after their matchup December of 2018. Whether Russell had a good day, three touchdowns going on that day for him, and he thinks maybe he was a little motivated by facing off against Mahomes.
There's no doubt. He won't tell you that, but of course he did. Yeah, and I don't know about the game, but he knows who he's playing against, and he knows all that. For him to be overlooked as a representing in the Pro Bowl, you know, I guess it's just a statement about we didn't throw the ball enough, and everybody's enamored with that. But he's throwing the ball great. Look at his rating. He's I don't know who's got a better rating than him, but he's been phenomenal all year long. So, but that's just, you know, he's not going to. I hope he doesn't say anything about it because he won't. But yeah, when you're competing against guys like that, yeah, you want to do well, and he came through, did a great job.
Well, he was fired up there.
I'm sorry, that was right after the Pro Bowl. Is that right?
No, this that was from after, December of 18.
After the Seahawks beat the Chiefs here.
Oh, this was last year, yeah.
Terrific game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and he's right about the rating. I mean, because last year he was third. I think he was third this year in quarterback rating. But he was, you know, I think third in interceptions, least interceptions, third in touchdowns thrown, and had way less attempts. As a matter of fact, dead last. I think they threw it 27 times last year. So Russell made the most of that. And the rating is really what you want to look at. And he was third, and I think he was third this year. And Pete said, who was he behind? This year, I know it was Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
In terms of
the quarterback rating.
Quarterback rating, let's see.
I think.
Ryan Tannehill was the leader. Didn't play the whole season, but he had 117.5. Yeah. Drew Brees was second. Lamar Jackson was third. Kirk Cousins was fourth. And then Russell. Mahomes was seventh. So Russell was fifth.
Maybe I'm thinking of last year's numbers.
Yeah.
Then, but I know he was third. He was number three in all three of those last year. Going into the, I think at the end, his quarterback rating went down quite a bit. But yeah, it's just, I just feel like, and then if you go and look at some of the other young stars, like I was looking at Deshaun Watson, who I love, and the guy is a winner, but, you know, gets sacked a ton.
11th in quarterback rating.
Throws a lot of you know, Russell was 11th this year in quarterback rating?
No, Watson.
Oh, okay.
Russell was fifth.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
Watson was sacked more than Wilson this year.
Yeah, he had a year where he was sacked 62 times.
He was sacked 44 times.
Oh, was I wrong about something else?
But 2 years ago, it was 62.
Because Watson was 44 this year?
Yeah.
Well, Russell was 48 this year.
Yes.
So,
Yeah. Another voice, everybody's favorite, Stephen A. Smith, talking about these two.
He's religiously one of the least protected star quarterbacks in the game.
He's gotten better Patrick this Mahomes, year.
He's gotten better this year, but still, I saw him having a scramble even yesterday as well, last night rather. You look at Patrick Mahomes. For the most part, we're not giving Andy Reid enough credit, not just with the play calling, okay, and the electric speed that they have at practically every position there, but we're also taking into account that offensive line does protect Patrick Mahomes. He does not have to run for his life as much as Russell Wilson does.
One of the few times I'll agree with Stephen A. Smith.
He was quiet, too.
Yeah, he didn't scream it.
I didn't even recognize his voice.
Because he was talking.
Yeah.
And then one more from Kevin Harlan on NFL Network talking about these two guys.
The thing about him that probably stands out is he's not the fastest guy. He's not the most athletic quarterback, certainly, in the NFL. But like Russell Wilson, he's very smart. He's got a feel. He's got perception. Andrew, and you've watched a lot of his games. He has a knack for when to hit the deck and not get hit. He knows when to cut. He knows when to step up in the pocket, move a little bit to the left, go back to the right. He just has great footwork for someone so young, and it's only going to get better. But he's not the fastest. He doesn't have the best body. He's not the greatest athlete, but he's got that sense that you cannot teach.
Yeah, the only other thing I'd say, too, about this Mahomes and Russell Wilson comparison is that Mahomes is on the verge of getting this record contract, 40 to 45 million, whenever the owner yesterday was saying it might be in the next 12 to 15 months. So we'll see when that actually happens. But when that does happen, then Kansas City is going to be in the same situation as all the other teams when they have star quarterbacks trying to build around their team while having one guy that you're paying just an exorbitant amount to.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be in a tough spot. I mean, I don't
doubt that Mahomes is, you know, he's on a fast track toward the Hall of Fame right now when you see what he's done and how great he's been, but
he seems special. I mean, he's a great player. And like Russell, he seems like he's everything you'd want him to be in terms of his character. By all accounts, and we don't follow him nearly as closely as we do Russell, but I've never heard a negative thing about him in the way of his attitude, in the way of his leadership. His teammates love him. I mean, the guy's a winner, and hopefully that happens on Sunday. But he's a guy that's worth what you're going to be paying him. He's the unicorn, and Russell is as well. A guy who does everything well, does everything better than most, and on top of it is a great character guy. He doesn't have an attitude. You don't have to worry about him popping off in the press or throwing coaches or teammates under the bus, what have you, that you get with the Baker Mayfields of the world or poor leaders when things are, especially when the chips are down. That's where you see where the leaders are. And Russell, could you have a better leader than Russell Wilson when things are going wrong? I mean, we've talked about Cam Newton sitting on the bench with a towel over his head. And, we've seen other guys who just don't respond well to adversity. And that's huge because you're going to face adversity no matter who you are in this league. And I think Mahomes has it. And I think Russell has it. You win with either of those guys, it'd be tough not to take Patrick Mahomes just based on the youth that you've got that many more years, you would assume, of his time in the league versus Russell. But, yeah, you're going to end up paying him more. But, Russell's, if he plays till 40, 43, you're going to pay him again. And at that time, what's the going rate going to be?
Well, yeah, and I think, doesn't everybody believe he can play another 10 years?
Yeah, he's never hurt. He's never missed a game.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And you also know how he's going to respond to adversity. And, look, this is the third season for Mahomes right now. Russ was going into the 2014 Super Bowl 49. He'd already won one. He'd gotten to the second round of the playoffs his rookie year and then, lose that tragic one. And, I know that people are probably going to text in and say, well, I bet you Mahomes wouldn't have thrown an interception there. But, look, that was just one of those freakish plays. But, Russ, and this is the best version of Russell right now. And I think a lot of it has been addition by subtraction. Because, it's now his team, and some of those guys that were detractors of him are not on the team anymore. So, he's proven. We know that, this guy, no matter what, and that's the thing that's so remarkable about it. And when you talk to him, everybody thought it was some kind of an act in the beginning, but he's like, failure's not an option when he says things like that. He actually believes that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's who he is, man. Him and Pete, if it's an act, it's the most consistent act you've ever seen with the both of them. All right, let's take two.
Take two.
The Huskies take on Arizona tomorrow night. We talk with Coach Mike Hopkins about how they can get back on track at 4:30 today.
Yeah, coming up at 4:30, we'll talk to him, see what the attitude of the team is like, and I mean, they've lost, what, 3 in a row, 5 of 6, 7 of 10, something. I mean, it's been a bad stretch.
They're still 12-9, though, right?
Yeah, where they have 10 games left in the regular season, I think.
Something like that. But, yeah, last place in the Pac-12 for a team that so much was expected of. And there's still time for them to turn it around. But, boy, they got to get it going against Arizona tomorrow and then ASU on Saturday.
I think everybody's going to enjoy the Hopkins interview, especially at the end.
Yeah. He's not down. How about that? He's not, you know, the bottom lip's not hanging. He's not out there, woe is me. We'll tell you that right now. But you can check that out at 4:30.
Nice restraint there, Dave. Good tease. I approve. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports that Dusty Baker has agreed to a 2-year deal to be the new manager of the Houston Astros.
Good for Dusty.
Did you want me to say what Hopkins said?
No.
Sorry. You know, it's funny, of baseball guys, does Dusty Baker seem like the most quality, steady guy that you could bring in a situation like this in Houston?
Yeah, you need that guy that's seen it all, right? You're dealing with a unique element here where this team is going to be reviled in some areas. It's going to be ridiculed across the board. And the second any of these guys struggle, they'll go, oh, I guess they don't know what pitch is coming now, right? Is that not going to be the first reaction of Altuve?
I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
Isn't that going to be the first conclusion?
I just hope there's turmoil all season long for the Astros because they have it coming. But yeah, if you're going to have the pilot of a ship in stormy waters, you want it to be Dusty Baker.
Yeah, I don't think you could have a first-year guy. This is not the time where you take a chance on he's a young up-and-comer. No, you're dealing with a different element with this Astros team. It is going to be a really choppy waters for this team. So a guy like Dusty, it's a 2-year deal. I mean, he's 70 years old, and as El Hombre said yesterday, well, so what? It's not like he's doing calisthenics every game. So but still, it's not a long-term commitment, but it's the kind of move you need to make, I think, in this situation. It seems very smart.
Dave, they're so talented, though. Don't you think they're going to win the AL West and return to the World Series?
I don't know. I have doubts now.
Well, yeah, but don't you think, you know, that whole chip on the shoulder thing, and we'll show you we can do it without garbage cans and that whole mentality?
I like that they'll be mad. We'll show you. Well, they're mad because they got caught cheating.
Yeah, right. I feel like opposing pitchers are going to come in there with a chip on their shoulder, too.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. I think there'll be a lot of people tuning into Astros games just to see how things go.
How about this? Have you guys thought about this? How many rushing the mound incidents that we're going to get?
The thing is, though, is that I hope there's a bunch of them, but I'm pretty sure the commissioner is going to put a stop to that right away. As soon as the first pitch brushes back Altuve or Bregman, there's going to be some hefty fines handed out, and so the consequences will be too severe that I don't think we're going to see as much of that as I would hope, Dave.
I think you should just let it happen. Let it happen. It's very necessary, and I think a lot of eyes, the ratings might be up. The ratings might be up when they play in prime time. All right, as we said, George Karl will join us at 3:45 today, but coming up, there's possible news on the NHL Seattle team name front. How about that? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at 3:45, former Sonics head coach George Karl will join us on the program. Looking forward to that conversation. Meanwhile, there was a leak. The NHL Seattle franchise. We've all been sitting here wondering, pondering, what's the name going to be? Is it going to be the Sockeye? Is it going to be the Kraken? What were the others? The Totems? Something like that.
I like the Totems. Kind of.
You wanted
going
the Sockeye,
back to the past?
You?
No, I didn't. I want the Kraken.
Oh, all right. Well, Brent Stecker has a story up at 710 Sports, and in it he quotes, in an interview on SiriusXM's NHL Network Radio, it was reported that Seattle Kraken will be the name, according to John Hoven, editor of Mayor's Manor, a website that covers the Los Angeles Kings. Quote, the Sockeyes were reportedly in the running too, but a legal issue with an author who has written a series of romance novels featuring a fictional Seattle Sockeyes team is the reason why NHL Seattle has decided to go another direction. And if that's the case, I'm happy, because I don't like the Seattle Sockeyes.
Well, we talked about it Danny had the whole thing about the fish standing up on its fin with a black eye and what, a fin holding a hockey stick. You know, I don't know if you're going to put skates on it, but I thought that was kind of cool. I've always liked the Kraken. I think that's too. Cool. Remember the old Clash of the Titans movie from like 1980s with Harry Hamlin?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the guy's like, release the Kraken. You know, the thing comes up out of the water. It was pretty awesome.
We should mention that once this broke, Kraken started trending on Twitter, and it's gone everywhere. But NHL Seattle tweeted out, while we're aware of some fishy rumors surrounding our team name, please rest assured we're doing our due diligence by scouring the depths of the ocean, the tallest mountains, and the densest part of the forest to find the right name for our great green city.
Yeah, I wonder if there's hidden messages in that tweet there, too. I stopped on green city. I mean, I understand what...
I think that's what they want you to wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so then you start thinking about the colors. There's rumors out there that red is going to be part of the color scheme, but maybe not. Maybe it'll end up being green. So,
I saw Kevin, you know, Jay and Silent Bob. You ever seen those movies? That comedy duo, Kevin Smith?
No. Bob, if you want to talk about movies, you want to look this way?
Anything to do with pop culture, no, I'm out.
Well, Kevin Smith, who's a massive hockey fan, he's Silent Bob in that duo.
Yeah.
He tweeted out, Seattle in capital letters, if your new NHL team name is the Kraken, so help me Zeus, I will become a big, fat crackhead. Release the Kraken, the most absolutely metal name for a hockey team since the New Jersey Devils.
Metal? Is that good?
I think he likes it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. It's a legendary cephalopod-like sea monster of giant size.
Wait, what?
Cephalopod.
Cephalopod.
In Scandinavian folklore, according to the Norse sagas, which I suppose are tales told. That's all that anybody cares about. Like, what is going to be the... I mean, we talked to the GM last year, and, you know, I just, what else is there? I mean, until you hire a coach and start getting players, I think everybody's most concerned with this. This will get, like, the most texts of anyone.
Yeah, we can't break down the roster and the coach because you don't have any of that. You don't even have a team name yet, so.
Yeah, remember somebody texted in, like, weren't you guys talking about the hockey team that's coming here?
Yeah, well,
because we don't know what their name is. We don't know what their colors are. We know there's Ron Francis, who's going to be, you know.
Yeah. We can't break down the roster because there isn't one. We can't break down the coach because there isn't one. So outside of that, it's going to be
a good discussion. We can't break down the roster or the coach because we don't know anything about hockey, too. We could say that.
Oh, there's that, too.
I mean, we have time to bone up on the sport, and I've got that Hockey for Dummies book at home that I haven't opened yet, but I will.
Is that right? Okay.
I will say this, though, and I know a lot of people like the idea of Sockeyes and this Jamie Davenport, the romance novel author, that there might be a little hang-up there, as has been noted there. She says she's not trying to profit off this or stop anybody from using the Sockeyes name. I'm just trying to protect my business. So maybe that's why they're steering clear of the Sockeyes. And I'm happy about that if they are. Because my dad was into fishing and everything, and I'm out of my lane here. And so fishermen can correct me if you want on 710-710. But I'd never thought of the Sockeyes being that tough of a fish. In the salmon family, I mean, I've got the king up here and I've got the silver. And then sockeye's kind of down below that. And I understand they're fun to fish for and all that, but I just have never thought, yeah, sockeye's, that's a tough fish right there.
Yeah, Brandon, son of Augustifson from 710sports.com, was talking about how his dad's really into fishing. It's kind of on the sort of lower food chain of fish.
Is it sockeye?
Yeah, it gets eaten up.
I'll take his word for it. I don't know anything about it.
You've never caught one out of Lake Washington?
I'm not a fisherman. Yeah. I don't eat seafood, Jim. So, but yeah, plus I think the name stinks. Sockeye. I think it stinks. If it's the Kraken, so be it. It doesn't really matter what the name is. Somebody's going to be really excited. There'll be another person equally as upset. We already had somebody in here text in. You guys can text in 710-710. I've been dying for a hockey team since I was 10 in the early 90s. I will not root for a team in Seattle called the Kraken. So you've been waiting since you were a 10-year-old, but because the name isn't what you want, that's it, I'm out. No hockey for me.
Well, Danny was talking also about for journalists, when you're like, it's plural. When you write, when you say the Seahawks, 12 touchdowns, now what do you say, the Kraken?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like the Kraken with 3 goals or?
Like the Utah Jazz when they're singular like that.
Yeah. But
Danny was complaining about that part. Is that
tell
him
to toughen up.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
No, it's not.
Are the fans going to be crackheads then? Is that the fear that they'll be called? Well, the Canucks are the Canuckleheads. That's what people call them.
I haven't thought of that. I hadn't thought that they would be crackheads.
They'll be cracking heads.
Cracking heads?
Well, they're not going to be crackheads.
I think it's going to catch on.
I don't know.
What's the mascot going to look like?
I don't know, but wouldn't you want to buy a T-shirt and sweatshirt and hat? More so than if it's a sockeye?
I'm all in on the dragon stuff. The XFL team.
Yeah,
Seattle
love
Dragons.
That. Yeah,
love that stuff.
You're big on that.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're going to do. If you look like on Wikipedia, it looks like a huge octopus is what it looks like. But I don't know what form of it. Are they going to make it into the Clash of the Titans? What was that thing? It looked like Godzilla. Yeah, so I
like that no other team would be called the Kraken. You'd be the one and only Kraken. There's got to be another Sockeyes team somewhere.
Somebody's saying multiple Kraken or crack eye, like octopi.
There we go.
The crack eye. People are, I like the Seattle Grunge for a hockey team name. Totems, the Seattle Sasquatch. No, I don't like that one either. It really doesn't matter. I didn't see a consensus when we had like multiple names out there before. Everybody was all over the map, but it doesn't matter what they'll pick because there'll be, again, a segment of the fan base going, yes, Kraken, love it. And then the other half going, what a stupid name. I'm not rooting for a team who can hold the Kraken.
Yeah, but people
get over it.
You'll get used to it, right?
Everything sounds normal after a while.
When I first came to Seattle, we all went up to Rusty Tillman's, the young linebacker group, and one of the linebackers was like, what's a Seahawk anyway? And Rusty goes, you.
Good enough.
Like, okay, never question it again.
That's a great answer. All right, coming up, former Sonics coach George Karl is going to join us, share some of his memories from Sonics-Lakers rivalry days in light of what happened with Kobe Bryant. So looking forward to a conversation with the coach joining us next year with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the professor John Clayton will join us on the program, but right now we get a chance to talk to a Seattle legend, a man who was beloved in this town. I used to love talking to this guy. The Sonics owned this town in the mid-90s, and he was calling all the shots. He's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. He is George Karl. Coach, how are you?
Well, you know, I'm good, and my life is easy, and but during the last couple of days, I can't deny I've been a little distressful, and it's difficult, very difficult.
Well, let's talk about when you got the news. Was it one of those moments where you're like, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of fake nonsense out there on it. People can make up any story they want, or was it from a trusted source where you just knew right away, all right, this is real?
I got a text from a couple guys in the NBA, and those guys were pretty high up, so they kind of knew what was going on. And then I turned on the TV, and it was all over the TV. And I was, it numbed me. And then a helicopter accident. I'm all, wow. And actually, there was about an hour in between that, and I had to go someplace. And then I got the text from somebody that his daughter was there, and that's what killed me. I mean, it just knocked me. And then, of course, three or four hours later, we hear about two other families in the helicopter. So, I mean, it shouts that life is fragile, life is fleeting, I've been around a lot of guys in town here that are ex-NBA guys and some coaches, and we've talked about it. We got together at the bar and drank some beers and started talking some stories. And I've kind of come to the resolution that I was very fortunate. I got to coach against probably seven or eight of the top 10 players ever to play in the NBA. You know, not only Kobe, but you got LeBron and you got Michael and you got Bird and you got Magic and you got Durant and Seth Curry, my era of coaching, I've come to the conclusion that I've been blessed by the opportunity to not only coach against these guys, but I know a lot of these guys personally, not close friendships, but some of them I have good friendships with. And Kobe is one of those guys that, I've had my moments with, you know, and it made me sad. It still makes me sad. I think right now the NBA is kind of in a malaise. They're kind of listless. It's kind of like, okay, when are we going to get out of this? But I think that's how much he's touched all of us. That's how much he's affected the, you know, he's been a major part of the psyche of the NBA for 20 years, maybe 25 years.
Well, George, you coached against him throughout his entire career. The first 2 years of Kobe's career coincided with when you were here with the Sonics. What set him apart besides his amazing talent?
You know, the thing that comes to my mind is how confident, to the point of when he was 19 years old, I think most players in the league didn't like him because he was too cocky. He was too, you know, he was... I remember the first All-Star game he made his rookie year. He was waving Karl Malone off the block to let him go one-on-one. He was telling David Robinson, I don't want to screen. Get out of here. Get out of my way. And this is a 19-year-old kid telling a 10-year All-Star, I'm not going to be overpowered by this. I think I deserve to be here. And his confidence, I think, rubbed people the wrong way early. But then in the end, I think his confidence was one of the reasons why he was so special.
Hey, Coach Carl, as Bob said, you're much beloved here in Seattle. Tell us what you're up to these days, where you're at, and what's going on.
Well, I live in Denver. I speak a lot on cancer, leadership, teamwork. I've gotten a kind of an entrepreneur niche of talking to companies that want to grow and maybe regroup or reorganize. And I speak probably once a month on leadership and teamwork, and then cancer. I've always stayed a mentor. I've always stayed an ambassador. I have a foundation that donates money to a lot of cancer situations. And then the basketball part of it is I mentor some of my ex-coaches. Tim Gergerich and I stay close, and I hang out with him. Nate McMillan and I are still pretty close. And, you know, Terry Stotts is doing a great job. Dwayne Casey's doing a great job. There's another probably 7 or 8, 9, 10 assistant coaches when they come into Denver. We'll go hang out and talk. I love the game. I still have the, you know, maybe a crazy passion for the game, and I think we're in a kind of a stage of the game that this year is going to be really interesting. I don't think anybody could predict exactly who's going to win it. Trade deadline is going to be really interesting to see what teams who might be on that second tier is going to try to move up into the first tier. I think the two LA teams in Milwaukee have, in my mind at least, have separated themselves a little bit. But there's another 4 or 5 teams right below them that, you know, if they made the right move or made the right trade, could get into the upper tier.
Coach, you brought up your involvement with cancer charities and research, things like that. Obviously, everybody out here well aware of your battle with it. How's your health now? Everything good as we're speaking?
I'm as skinny as I've been in probably 40 years. I work out every day when I'm in Denver. You know, I'm learning to take care of my body a lot better. Yoga, I'm into yoga and trying to slow down and keep the stress out of my body. I'm not sure I want to be called retired because I like doing things. I like being involved, and I don't know if there's something in the NBA for me someday, but I'd have interest. And I still have the niche to try to coach again someday, but right now I have a 15-year-old daughter. And as long as I think I'm going to give her the next 2.5 years of my life. And then after that, if I stay healthy and, you know, someone in Europe or someone in Australia or somewhere, I might get back out there and try it again.
Well, maybe you could come back when the Sonics come back.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be the greatest celebration that you couldn't give me a better Christmas present than that. I mean, I'm just so angry. I don't get angry very much anymore, but I still get angry that why in the hell isn't there a basketball team in Seattle, Washington? It just doesn't make no sense. And I don't know why 30 owners and a league office can even look at themselves and say, this is, well, this is the way it worked out and we shouldn't change it. And I just hope someday soon that there will be basketball back in Seattle. It has great high school basketball. University of Washington has come on. Washington State has a good team. I see a lot of Pac-12 games because of Colorado. I think basketball in Seattle since, I don't know, probably the 90s, early 90s, has really spiraled into being one of the best amateur youth. The AAU programs are very good. The college programs are good. There are a lot of NBA guys from Seattle. It deserves, and I think the league has to bring a team back to Seattle someday soon.
Well, George, you averaged 59 wins a season your time here in the 90s in Seattle. How special were those times for you?
You know, someone told me the other day that I've had in my career, I had 12 or 13 50-win seasons. But Seattle was different. You know, we were a dominating team trying to figure out how to beat Michael Jordan. Maybe got messed up because of some early exits and because of our immaturity. Got to the finals one time, got to the conference finals another time. But those teams, you know, we were thinking about winning it every day of the season. It was about winning it. And I've never had a team that talented since then. You know, in Denver, we got to the conference finals and could have got, and in Milwaukee, we got to the conference finals. But I still think in Seattle, it was that, you know, every day you thought about how can we get better? How can we get one more step up the mountain?
Well, Coach, it was a lot of fun always getting a chance to speak with you when you were in town and the Sonics ruled this city, and it's great to get a chance to catch up with you now. We thank you so much for taking time with us, and let's hope we're talking again soon.
Okay, gentlemen, have a great day, and celebrate and honor Kobe in a gracious way. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks,
there you
George.
Go. The voice of former Sonics head coach George Karl spending a few minutes with us. Meanwhile, the professor is going to join us live from Radio Row in Miami. We'll get the latest from the Super Bowl, what's going on out there. There was a little dust-up between some MMA fighters out there, Dave,
like
including
the
your
sound
favorite.
Of that.
Maybe he was right in the middle of it. You never know. The professor could have been egging him on. We'll ask him.
Oh, Clayton out there? Yeah. You better be careful.
You never know. So we'll talk to John Clayton. He joins us next year with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.